You have reached episode 3 of the podcast. Welcome, guys. I'm so excited to have two great guests today on.
Talk dirty to me.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about prostitution, whether or not to legalize it. Obviously, we're talking about North America, but it's a little bit different for you guys. We have Twin is still with us, and we have Sebastian joining us from Ohio, who has actually written a paper on the subject. Hello, Sebastian.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantabulous. And the discussion is going to be a little weird because I live in the UK, where I believe prostitution is decriminalized, at least. And I'm from Canada, where prostitution is decriminalized. So really, we're mostly talking about whether or not to legalize it in the U.S., where it is still illegal, as far as I know. So you guys are both from the U.S., and I don't know a ton about the laws there, but I do know, like, kind of the most common sense stuff. So, yeah, so we're going to I'm going to try to be neutral, but let's face it, I'm bad at neutral. I am pro-legalization. Twin, what's your stance? Oh, he might have the same problem as you.
Wait, what's that? Hello? Hello? Can you still hear me?
Oh, there you go. Did you your sleep mode go off on your phone?
Yeah.
That's what happened to Sebastian earlier. Okay, so
Let's legalize it.
Yeah, right? Okay. And Sebastian, you are taking the kind of
I'm taking the con. I'm sticking with keep it illegal.
All right. So he's playing devil's advocate here cuz he's pretty neutral on the subject too. So the best I could find was a neutral devil's advocate. I couldn't really find anyone who's actually fully against it to join us. So let's do it. First, let's talk about Sebastian. What are the negatives against legalizing prostitution?
So in the paper that I wrote, so I started mainly with government oversight, different other rights that come into play when it should become legal, the reasons why it should become legal, and the nature of the services to begin with. In regards to why women choose this path as opposed to other paths, and how you tie that with education and livelihood.
Okay. All right. So what would you say would be the biggest negative to having it legalized?
So one of the biggest things is oversight, that being probably the largest part of it. So Let's assume we make it legal. So upon doing so, you would have to, you should, in theory, have some sort of government oversight. And not even just simply the financial aspect of it, such as taxes and things like that, but just oversight as far as protection. So
yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's the whole point, is these women would have someone watching over them. There would be if they're assaulted, if they're raped, if there's any other criminal activity going on, they'd be way more likely to report it because they're not going to get in trouble.
Correct. As it stands right now, you have, we'll use the term pimps, that so to say govern the people that are working for them. However, this is usually done at probably 80 to 20 as far as what the woman's cut is. The protection may be more in lines of, physical harm and or death to the person that causes the harm. So government oversight would allow for women to be protected. However, how does it work for both parties? And then that was one of my questions. Say, for example, a woman who was a sex worker solicits people for sex. So when you tie into advertising, how does these services become rented to begin with? How does she get her services out there? Is she found online? Not only that, in the U.S., having sex with a minor is still illegal. So how do you protect the other people? So if a 14-year-old, male or female, doesn't matter. The 14-year-old was to solicit her services, was to protect them from the act. You know, we would like to think that it is at the discretion of the sex worker, of course, but there are laws in place that protect against that. So would you need, would additional laws need to be changed in order for this to happen?
So I'm not sure I understand that part. So, I mean, if it became a legitimate business, it would be like anything else. If a 14-year-old walks into a bar and asks to be, you know, a waitress or a bartender, they're obviously going to ID them and say, no, you're too young. Wouldn't it be the same? I mean, it would be the same thing. You can't walk into a licensed brothel and say, I want to be a prostitute here. They're going to go, no, we can see what your age is. You're not legally allowed to be. Wouldn't it be pretty simple to keep minors out of the business?
It would be correct.
I feel like it would be a lot easier to keep minors out of the business more if it was legal. I mean, minors are doing it now because it's illegal and because no one's monitoring it.
Which is a subject, which is part of the subject I'm going to go into. So the issue with, okay. You're assuming, like, so... If we make it legal, are we assuming that this activity has to take place in brothels? Or is it similar to the U.S. where you can just simply file a 1099 and you are a self-employed worker? Or if you're in a brothel, then yes, that's an organization. These brothels would in effect become your employer. And then at that point in time, yes, you would the brothel themselves would have to file to the state or the city, whatever the jurisdiction is that they reside in, and police forces can come in and check the fact that you're IDing, similar to other establishments. However, mm-hmm. at that point in time, so I guess that's a question. Are we assuming that if you are committing sex work, you're only doing it in a brothel, or can you do it out of the comforts of your home?
See, I'm kind of, I guess I'm assuming that we would go the direction of like the certain European countries like Amsterdam that are doing it, where they have facilities, they have brothels. Like it's still, people still prostitute illegally in Amsterdam. You can't just stand on a street corner and offer to have sex with someone for money. That's not legal. You have to be licensed. It has to be in a brothel. So that's what I'm assuming it would become.
No, and that same stance, does in Amsterdam, does protection get offered? So in the event that a service is rendered and the male or female does something against the wishes of them, is that policed?
I would think so. What do you think, Twin?
I mean, okay, so let's just put it this way. Let's say a friend of mine, all right, visited this establishment before. So a friend of mine have gave me enough insight that I kind of understand how this thing works. So you can just pretty much run it, like Scar said, like a brothel, all right? If you have designated places for these people to work, you have designated license for these places to operate. For example, to be able to work as a sex worker, you need to have a health check, age check, background check, all the standard stuff that people go through today. Right, and also as far as safety wise, you still have your regular bouncers, just like all your other bars or other establishment. You have your security in each of the establishments. Your safety should be at least protected as well. You card people as they come in. You check their ID as they come in. So that should eliminate about the age thing that we mentioned before. The 1099 part, that part, we probably shouldn't go full on that yet unless we can figure a better way to, like you said, protect people. But as far as legalizing prostitution-wise, it's still viable.
Yeah, I would consider it like, as far as the protection and security part, it would be the same as any bar or strip club. If someone gets out of line, they get thrown out. I feel like those kinds of what's the word? The way that they would handle it is already exists in, say, a strip club. If a guy, like, there's people know generally what they are and aren't allowed to do, and if they treat one of the girls disrespectfully, they're gone. And I feel like it would just be taking that process and putting it in a similar but different place.
Indeed. Like where my friend went, when they go to the back room, they're basically different stalls and they do have doors, but they're never locked. And there's always a bouncer standing right outside. Anything goes wrong, my friend has said that he has seen people being thrown out of there. All they need to hear is a yell or something. Something that doesn't seem
right. Yeah.
It's he can intervene pretty fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. So the reason why I mentioned the 1099 form is to become self-employed. So in the state of Ohio, to sell alcohol, you just have to have a liquor license. So yeah. I could effectively sell liquor out of my home, assuming I have the correct license. So in the same respect, a woman who wants to enter into sex work, could she do so on her own? Like, could she run it out of her home where such protections in bars and strip clubs may or may not exist? Not only that, does the protection work on both sides? So I'm not real familiar with strip club aspect of it, so I apologize. But say I enter into, you know, a facility in order to retain some sort of service, and the service is not rendered in the manner that I was told. Do I have recourse? Do I have the ability to sue the establishment for improper advertising? And speaking of that, you know, if these brothels become advertised, again, you know, if they become legal, are they advertised? And similar to in Amsterdam, when you kind of made that point, Scar, it is, like you just said, so despite the fact that it is legal, there are still women who perform acts illegally. So it brings up the question of what was the gain? Well, if people are still doing these actions illegally, then what do we actually gain from it by making portions of it legal?
Go
ahead.
I mean, okay, so that sounds like a multiple question over here. Let's tackle it one by one. Number one, 1099, doing it privately. Now, actually, funny thing is, in my state and the neighboring state, we can't sell alcohol at our own homes. Liquor license only allow you to serve them in like a family function. For example, if you have a family party in your backyard, you need to get a liquor license for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you
serious? That is insane.
Right.
Remind me not to go to that state and go.
Yeah, that must be state specific. Yeah, we can sell. We can serve, not for sale. We can serve it all day long, you know. But it's for sale to actually sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went to a party in a neighborhood meeting room once, and for them to do that, they need to have a liquor license. Which is interesting. But what I'm saying is, as of this point, if we were to legalize prostitution, 1099 can be ruled out for now until better or things can be thought by smarter people than us, probably. However, sure. That does not stop our idea of legalizing prostitution. If we can still have
I think I know what you're saying. I feel like that's kind of just a technical thing. Right. It's one of those things that, like, it's like saying, oh, should we be allowed to run a business from our home? And it's kind of like, oh, well, what are the specifics of running your business? And it's kind of like, that's the kind of technical stuff you figure out later, but it's not really the main issue kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's
already assuming, oh, we already legalized prostitution. Now, how we're going to run it? Is it going to happen?
Exactly.
In our own home. Establishment sounds like there's no issue already. It's just wondering how we're going to process the one with 1099s. So that is point number one. Point number two would be advertisement. I mean, okay, here's a cool part about my city. Our strip club literally have airplanes flying around the city with a banner behind it, advertising their clubs. If you build it, they will come. Hopefully
they'll come after they leave.
yeah, indeed. So yeah, advertisement wise, that is doable too. And as far as how we benefit, there are plenty of benefits to legalize prostitution, actually. I actually take that in my criminology class about 3 years ago. Option number one is that people, first of all, there will always be sex workers out there. I mean, that's just how we ban it.
You can't, nothing you do will ever cut down on any particular kind of crime 100%. It's just not possible.
Sex workers will always be out there. And it's just the fact that if we can protect these people or not. Right?
Yeah.
So
how can we do it in a way that is more productive and benefits more people? Where it's like masseuses. That's like massage. You can get a license or a registration. In Canada, there's actually registered massage therapy. It's a healthcare field. It's not just like a spa massage, but you can do that too. You can say you can go take a year course or, you don't even have to be a masseuse. You could go take a 6-week course, learn everything, get a license and get a business license and do it out of your home. It's easy. It doesn't cost that much. But of course, there are still people doing unlicensed massage out of their home illegally. Because it's just going to happen. Does that mean we should just not have licensed masseuses? It's that kind of thing. It's like you're always going to have, someone's always going to be trying to skirt taxes or, you know, again, underage kids who are out of options or they think they're out of options or, you know, somehow got into that kind of world where, like, I mean, trafficking and all that kind of stuff is still a thing. Underage kids are getting pushed into illegal prostitution and all that kind of stuff. And you're never going to be able to get rid of that. But can we cut down on as much of that as possible? Can we protect as many women in this kind of field as possible? And can we protect the men soliciting as well? I mean, whether you're doing it out of your home, if I became a masseuse, I could go get a license and do it out of my home, but I'm still looked after. There's still a governing body making sure, A, I'm doing things legally and correctly, protecting me and protecting any clients that may come to my home. And if I decide to go work at a spa, it's the same thing. There's more protection because there's literally, you're in a building with people right there who, if you need help and call out for help, they're there. But either way, you're doing it in a proper legal way and there's a governing body protecting you and the client. So I feel like it would be the same in prostitution. If no one could ever go to a spa and get a massage, you're going to have a lot of people offering that kind of thing out of their house. And, well, if I'm home by myself and invite some strange man over for a massage, am I in danger? Sure. Could he be in danger? Sure. But that's why we have spots. That's why we have licenses. That's why we have, you know, business licenses, so someone knows that I'm doing this out of my home, that kind of thing. So I feel like it's interchangeable.
So
it would help a lot of people.
My only issue with that is laws that are in place for a reason. And just because something is widely accepted and or done illegally to begin with, doesn't necessarily justify the action of it becoming legal. So, for you know, and so when I did my paper, I tied in like drug use very, very similarly with it. So there are many criminal actions that people do and are going to continue doing on an everyday basis. We cannot stop it. We cannot pretend to stop it. However, that doesn't necessarily mean we should just open the doors and say, they're doing it anyway. Let's just make it legal. You know, that there has to be guidelines and there has to be a route to these things to begin with. Otherwise, you fall into anarchy a little bit. And I use that term probably incorrectly, but how do you – so for example, stemming back to prostitution. So if we're going to assume that people are doing it as of now, regardless or anything like that, and we just simply say, whatever – open the laws up. Women can do what they wish. Because this is a very similar argument that I hear a lot here in the States is that, you know, as a woman or man, you know, whoever's entering into the service, you know, that this is my body. I can do with it what I wish. That is a very common, you know, statement that I hear. You know, so it's like, okay. So while this argument may sound stupid, but it's like, you know, selling your body parts. You know, if I wish to sell my kidney, I'm not harming anybody. It is my body. I should be able to do it as I wish. I should be able to go to any hospital, you know, and sell my body parts for money. However, there are laws in place that says you can't. You know, if we were to change these laws and say, oh, hey, yeah, sure, you can donate after you're dead, or you can donate to, you know, to certain causes, but the key word is donate. You cannot sell. So mm-hmm. the idea of selling yourself enters somewhat, and again, I'm bringing up a morality, not necessarily a religious aspect or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
but just the notion of debasing yourself. That a woman who sells herself essentially is saying that she herself is a commodity of some sort, an object that can be sold in some sort of marketplace. And she values this based on either herself or the brothel. So if she works at a brothel, for example, you know, does the who sets the rates? The brothel or does the woman?
No. You know,
so the woman says,
see, that's why we need to legalize it, because the government should be deciding. So what? So when we legalize, and you provide two things. Number one, three. You provide rules, number one, on how to do it and how not to do it. Two,
sure.
Protection. You make sure that they are you make sure they are well treated. For example, minimum wage, health benefits. And also general safety.
How do you dictate that, though? How do you dictate minimum wage?
Well, just like how you dictate
this is set minimum wage.
You look at how much other people are made, and you decide what a fair price is. All right. So we already know that there are existing prostitution market out there. So you set a minimum wage based on the means, or if you want to do it state by state. All right.
So,
and the third part, the important part is. Well, I hate to say it, but general profit for the state. When you legalize something, when you start making prostitution out of a brothel, for example, you get to tax it. And now,
of course,
the whole state get to benefit from the taxation of said services.
Let's break for the joke of the day. What do you call a sex-crazed gay cannibal? A headhunter. I'm just gonna let that one sink in for you guys.
So let me ask you this. So if the government steps in and sets a minimum wage, so currently, and I might be a little mistaken on this, but I believe the federal minimum wage right now is $7.85 an hour. Which is across the board for you know, obviously it depends on state by state, but I'm almost positive the federal minimum wage right now in the states is $7.85 an hour. Therefore, if we're using that as a baseline, are we saying that a sex worker becomes an employee of an employer, being the brothel, making $7.85?
Yeah, see, I don't really agree on the minimum wage thing. If you're sex worker working in a brothel, you're making a lot more than the minimum wage.
That's probably not the right word.
I think I know what you mean. You mean more like the government sets a standard for what general prices should be.
Right, more like
the MSRP. But why should the government stay? But that becomes the question. If the argument is that a woman should be able to do as she wishes, then how do you differentiate, like, for the most part, almost all employees, whether you're salary, hourly, whatever, there's a minimum wage for a reason. Sex work and drug trade are the only two factions of activity that aren't based on an hourly rate. It can't be.
See,
because if we're going to state it out.
What I do for a living does not have a minimum wage too. I mean, there is, but I am on full commission right now. So when I make the low minimum wage,
May I ask what you do?
Retail.
So retail based on commission. So say, even in retail, if I'm not mistaken, there's still a base. So you get a base salary.
Funny thing that is broken I do down, not.
But you get a commission. I'm sorry?
I do not. I don't get a salary. I'm full on commission. And when I make
so your salary is based on your sale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So when I make below that minimum wage line, I'm not doing my job. That's when I get fired.
Okay, so 100% commission. So okay, so in that respect, would we say that sex work would fall into a commission based, and that she is paid based on services rendered?
Right.
Yes, so basically, I would say
just
so.
Just like a car mechanic, for example, that's how they get paid too. They get paid on, depending on if it's a oil change or a change in engine block, they get paid per hour. All right. So an engine block is probably an 8-hour job, and each hour is about $120. I'm just using round number over here. So depending you want, I don't know, a BJ, that's probably, wow, how long that is, 20 minutes? You put a set.
Depends on the person.
Yeah. You put a set price range on the services needed and the minutes needed. And you get yourself, we're more in the realm of designing a pay plan now for sex workers, but that didn't stop it to legalize it.
But see, and I, as an online sex worker, I can basically tell you what I do. It would be in real life, but I mean, really, it's no different. I charge based on per minute. A 15-minute role player sexting session with videos is $2 per minute. That's $30. Now, I think what Sebastian is saying is what was talking about before was, oh, you know, what if they complain? What if they didn't get out of it what they thought they should or what they wanted? But it's the same with hundreds, probably thousands of other jobs, and you would apply the same methods for a massage. Say you pay $100 for an hour massage. Okay, you're done after that hour. Well, when a person comes out, what if they don't feel that they are relaxed enough for what they paid? They'll complain, but the facility will decide whether or not their complaint is reasonable. And if they decide to, you know, go so far as to, oh, I didn't get what I wanted out of that hour massage, they could sue if they want to. People don't really, I mean, I'm sure some people do that, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, it's to the facility or the servicer, if they're self-employed, say from home, it's to their discretion if they want to refund or offer something that because the person doesn't feel satisfied, just like any other business. If someone decides their dinner wasn't good enough, they complain that they don't want to pay for their dinner at a restaurant. Well, it's up to the restaurant if they want to offer them something as an apology or if they want to say, no, I think you're just trying to get something free, and everyone goes from there. I mean, again, all of these policies are in place for 100 different types of businesses. You just transfer it to sex work.
True, and some of that is, and honestly, some of this is semantics, and I understand that totally. So I guess stemming back to from the morality standpoint, and
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. So when you kind of refer to like desensitizing, debasing, and morality, so we go back to, so one of the things that I also stemmed on was opportunity and reason. Mm-hmm. So, from a sex worker's standpoint, male or female, why what reason do we enter into the field to begin with? Like what is the overall objective?
It would depend on the person. It's different for everyone, I would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel so,
like I've personally. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, why a person entering a business should be for their own reason. For example,
yeah, and it could be anything. Retail,
that should be my own business too. I didn't choose this. I was not happy about it, but here I am. You know. So.
Yeah, and you know what? Like it's interesting that you say that you're not happy about it, but here I am, as if this is, you know, not where you want to be, as if it's kind of like I have to pay my bills, so I'm here. But people think that sex, like, it's all about how society views this. Like, I've been personally asked, oh, you must be on hard times doing this, and I'm like, nope, I was making $130,000 a year doing what I was doing before. I like this better. I'm not desperate. I live very well. I mean, I'm traveling Europe for the next 2 years. I do it because I want to. And it's, you know, a far cry from prostitution, but even online sex work, people assume that I'm somehow mentally ill. Like I have daddy issues. People have asked me, or if I'm desperate for money, so I have to sell pictures online kind of thing. And it's like, that's just not always how it is. And it's the stigma that makes people feel like being in that kind of field is shameful. Yeah, if your only choice is to go out on the street and sell yourself to skeezy guys who may give you an STD or rape you or murder you, then yeah, you're probably only going to do it if you're desperate for money. But if you think, you know what? I'm really good at this. I'm good at even like, say, real life dom services. That's perfectly legal in most, in a lot of places. I don't know about certain states, but it's the kind of thing that there's a stigma against it. But because it's legal in a lot of places, and people think, and a lot of women, or for that matter, men, are like, I'm good at this. This seems fun. I'm going to do this for a living. And they're perfectly happy doing that. So it's really the stigma of society around. And the fact that it's illegal that makes it seem like they are only doing it because they're desperate. I'm sure there's plenty of women in the red light district or, you know, in these legal brothels in Amsterdam who could go be a waitress if they wanted to, but they're making way more, or for that matter, strip clubs. Why does any woman go do a strip club? They could be a waitress. They could go be a barista at a coffee shop. They could do a bunch of other different jobs to make money. But maybe they're good at it, and maybe they like making more money for a skill that they have, and they don't feel bad about it because there's no reason to feel bad about it.
Correct. So it's less about shame. So I apologize. I don't the shameful or the societal norms and everything like that. I care less about that, and more about the root reason. Like you said, whether or not you just simply have a skill set and you wish to exploit it. So be it. And that's fine. So I guess, so with that being said, you go down to, it's lucrative. I would like to think that, you know, and the research that I did, you know, and the studies that, you know, I found, and even just simply talking to people who do, you know, activities like this, it's lucrative. There's a lot of money to be made in a relatively short period of time. And it's hard not to find the allure in it. So given the skill set, I could argue in the same sentence, and again, this may be a discussion for later, but I could argue in the same sentence that, you know what, I have a really good skill set of being a meth dealer. You know, I'm good at it. I know how to make it. I'm a chemist in my garage. I'm really good at it. I have this skill set. I should be able to sell to people at a price that is reasonable for the market and be fine.
Well, let's talk about that part then.
Yes, of course.
Meth is harmful, right?
If harmful, whereas sex meth may be on the far end, so maybe I'll scale it back to say cocaine. Cocaine is harmful, right? Only if done in heavy moderation. Just like anything, cigarettes are harmful if done in heavy moderation. You know,
I would disagree with that. That's harmful right off the bat. you can't smoke a cigarette and say that one is healthy for you, but more isn't. It's bad for you, flat out.
So is cocaine, and so is meth. where is the harm other than your crippling morality in prostitution?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If I can have sex with 50 guys today, if I want to, legally, why shouldn't I be able to sell it? But it's not legal to do meth, and it's not legal to sell meth, and it's not legal to buy meth, because it's not legal to do it, because it's nothing but harmful. I mean, there's plenty of things that are harmful that are legal, but that's the
right
point.
And I guess that's the question.
If it's perfectly legal for me to have sex with 50 guys in a day, because that's my choice, why isn't it legal for me to have sex with 50 guys in a day who are paying me? But it's not legal to smoke meth, and that's why it's not legal to purchase or to sell or to make meth.
But it's legal to sell
that's
tobacco.
That's the difference. What's that?
But it's legal to sell tobacco, which is harmful.
I totally agree with that. Cocaine
that is not, you know, not legal.
That's the whole thing I totally agree with,
and that's a whole different discussion.
We're using a different measure stick for all of this. I mean, for example, you want to go extreme, gun is harmful, but we're still selling it and we're still using it.
Of course.
But we're talking about prostitution over here where there are really no downside with more government regulation here.
I agree with that.
There's not. And there's not. You're right. So ultimately, and somewhat unfortunately, that the pros and or the cons stem largely from society, one, morality, two, and the government oversight being three. So the argument would be that, you know, by having it legal, we can tax it, we can protect these women more than we are protecting them now. We protect them in different measures.
And you could protect the clients as well.
You protect the clients on both sides, you know, whether legal or illegal. You know, so, and you know, like you said, policing and legislating it to make it correct.
And
so,
taxes to make it profitable for the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I somewhat have an issue with that, simply because, again, it's difficult to separate the debasing and the morality with the taxes. The issue, the notion that you are profiting, what essentially what you're saying is that society is profiting off of a person. So,
I mean,
but they already are.
My work is getting taxed too. I'm not happy with it, but it's still happening.
Well, see, yeah, and see, I had forgotten for a little while because I tend to forget once we start getting talking about a different subject. Yeah. But that's a good point. Something that people bring up and someone has brought up to me in the past is and that I've read articles about is how do you deal with consent? The issue of consenting to use your body, like for instance at a brothel, in a way that is selling your body. But as far as I'm concerned, and something that no one has ever been able to explain away to me, is how is that any different than any other job? If I'm, you know, doing construction work, I'm, you know, beating up my body, it's not good for my, it's not good for health, it's not good for your body. It can cause, you know, tons of different jobs, especially physical jobs, can cause, you know, irreversible bodily harm, basically, to you for the future. But no one has an issue with that. It's the exact same thing. If I'm a construction worker, I am using and selling the ability of my body and my physical labor, as it were. I mean, physical labor, possibly having an orgasm, physical labor, lifting heavy stuff, you choose. But yeah, like you're offering your physical labor, you're putting your body at risk in many ways for money. And I honestly have never, no matter what anyone has ever, however anyone has tried to explain to me, I cannot come up with the difference in those two things. It's you either consent or you don't. If I start, you know, if I'm a massage therapist or a masseuse and I start doing a massage, I've consented to offer my skill, my ability, my physical labor to this hour of time with this person. And at any point, just like in a normal sexual encounter, just like in any normal work encounter, if I decided that for whatever reason this patient or client was making me uncomfortable during this massage, I can stop and leave the room. And if he All doesn't right. let me, then again, it's like anything else. I just don't see the difference in when people talk about bringing up the consent issue and the idea of how can you consent to selling your body for money in a legal sense. To me, it's no different than any doing it with any other job.
True. Yeah, I'll concur to that. Yeah, which I guess ultimately leaves the morality.
Exactly. And here's my two cents on that. It's nobody else's fucking business. Just like it wasn't with gay marriage. If I want to sell my body to Twin for money, and he wants to buy my body and fuck me,
yes.
which, by the way, you know you yes. do, shut up, then no one else is getting fucked. No one else is selling their body for money. Just like if I want to, I guess it's a bad example, if Sebastian wants to marry Twin, it is legal. because it doesn't affect anybody else. And the Supreme Court has already decided, and again, I'm using America. I love how I always have to take into account that we're talking about the U.S., even though I'm not from the U.S., nor do I live in the U.S. But yeah, I mean, it's the same in Canada. If two men or two women want to get married, it's nobody else's business. It doesn't affect them. And them paying for marriage licenses goes into the tax, or they pay certain taxes and certain fees and stuff to be married to each other, and that benefits everyone in society. And you don't see anyone turning down any services because it might have been coming from money from a gay marriage. So it's the exact same thing. Me selling my body doesn't affect anyone else other than me and the person that's buying it. And, you know, whoever else may be included in the business, which they are obviously doing by their own consent. And therefore, no one else can have any opinions about it. No one's pushing someone into being a legal prostitute or purchasing legal prostitution services. So their morality means nothing.
Okay.
Or their opinion on morality means nothing because they don't have to participate. Therefore, it doesn't affect them.
Correct.
Thoughts? So yeah, that's what I think about that. We are going to leave it there for this episode and continue our discussion on prostitution, where Twin and Sebastian will be joining us again next episode. Don't forget to check out the Patreon, Scarlet's Fantasies. That's Scarlet with one T. And you can check me out on Discord. Lots of free content, lots of sales on services and products. And you can find all of the podcast episodes posted in Discord at Scarlet's Feet and Fantasies. That's Scarlet with one T. Scarlet's Feet and Fantasies. Don't forget, you can go on Anchor and message us, send us a little voice message, or go ahead and find us on Discord or on my subreddit, Scarlet Panty Princess. And you can send us a text or voice message weighing in on the prostitution subject or asking any advice, sexual advice, romantic advice. Just go ahead and send a comment, commenting on the podcast, whatever you feel like. Can't wait to hear from you guys. We'll see you on the next episode of Talk Dirty to Me. Talk Dirty to Me.